three ball from CG43. They're in front.
This is flat out ridiculous.
From a beautiful left hand, in and out finish, the old fashioned way.
Newell gets to the basket with one to come. From there again. You have got to be kidding me. Tyson Steph.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the NBL Pocket Podcast. Tuesday, January 16th at 10 o'clock on the East Coast, and well, that'd make it about 7 o'clock on the West Coast. Joe Corr here, and I'm joined by Andrew Canyon. Andrew, say hello.
Yeah, oh, your internet just went a bit fuzzy there as I was about to come in.
Well, hopefully we'd have to do something. It's not hopefully. Like I paid good money for a new modem the other day, but whatever.
No. So, you're joined by a very hungry Andrew Canyon tonight.
Yeah.
I'm starving. I've got a bad craving for something that isn't a sponsor of the NBL.
But should be, because it's the same number of letters in the acronym. NBL KFC is what you're craving.
That is right. I am pretty hungry for it. Just a question. So when you get KFC, do you get original or do you go the hot and spicy?
Zinger. I get the Zinger,
Zinger
burger combo. Okay. I mean, I haven't had one in years, but even when, it's the Zinger burger combo, yeah.
Okay, so I'm thinking of going, like, usually I would go all original
really?
Recipe, right?
You just get a bucket of chicken and sit on the park bench, is that it?
Usually I go to the three-piece box, you get a bit of everything. Mm. But tonight I'm so hungry, I'm thinking of going hard. I'm thinking of getting six pieces of chicken. All right, and I'm going to go a little bit outlandish. I've never done this, but I'm going to get four original. I'm going to go two hot and spicy. Don't usually get the hot and spicy, but I think with six pieces, I can probably afford to mix and match a little.
Was the KFC ever a sponsor of the NBL? I remember seeing an ad with an old woman sitting at the end of the table. She eats the hot and spicy, and she breathes flames. And I remember that being at basketball games back in the day. Maybe I'm way off my hinges.
I think you're off, because it was typically was Hungry Jack's back in the day. Hungry Jack's
always,
back again.
Hungry Jack's always had a good relationship. Listen, we can't go down this road. This is not a fast food pod. It's an NBL pod.
I know.
Fast breaks, not fast food.
There you go. But it proves that we're not a cuck for the league, are we? Because we wouldn't be talking KFC if we were.
That's true. KFC, if you're interested, we'll take your money. I was going to talk about something frivolous and stupid, and I've since forgotten it now.
We started with Chicken Man. There's not anything much more.
I'll tell the people quickly what we're talking about. We're literally talking about the Sydney Kings and the Perth Wildcats. That's really about it. We may dabble into kind of, well, we won't. We're going to stick to those two things. And if something else, can you think of anything else worth talking about, Canyon?
It's been a pretty uninspiring period of time in the old NBL. Like, things just ticking along.
Mm.
It's hard to find something to grab hold of.
You
get notifications.
Yeah, I'm getting WhatsApp groups from the Hoot. Cut it out.
He's coming in with some hot information, is he?
Well, just about Doolittle and Saar, that they're probably not going to miss the Perth Wildcats' next game against Brisbane, and you know, that could be an L for that team. So, but that's all coming up later.
I think we talk
about the
there
Kings.
We're getting our intel.
Oh, for heaven's sake.
Stop it. Do not disturb
sorry.
Core.
How do I do this, Canyon?
Swipe down from the top right ear.
On the laptop or the phone?
On your iPhone. Oh my goodness. Swipe down near the Wi-Fi symbol.
Yep.
And then
near the
see there's a focus mode button.
Focus mode, yep. Focus. Gotcha.
Tap that.
Do not disturb.
Do not disturb. Beautiful.
Bang. I'm sorry about that, everyone.
That's all right. That's an iOS top tip.
Yeah, sell your stuff, man. If you're out there and you thought that last 30 seconds wasn't a complete waste of your life, the man on the other end of this hosts a wonderful podcast called Hemispheric Views, and it's all about tech and helpful tidbits, just like that one there. Okay.
Joe, you're back.
I'm back.
I hope we got all that first. You gotta grab that first bit of recording, slap it on the front.
Oh, even if it's not there, we're just cutting in right here. People at home, let it be known. Perth Wildcats, Sydney Kings, it's all we're talking about. It's all you're getting. It's probably more than you deserve anyway. All right, let's jump into this. Sydney Kings, Canyon. When I say the Sydney Kings, what do you say in response to just the mere mention of the name?
Pretty average this season.
Very.
With a little dose of excitement, just to keep us guessing.
They're 11-11 record. Are you looking at that? I mean, they're right on the pin, right? As many wins as losses. Mm-hmm. Do you have more optimism or skepticism about this team? You know, like, is their record going up or is it going down? What do you think?
Well, and if you'd asked me 3 or 4 days ago, I would have been highly skeptical because they'd shown me nothing.
Nothing.
Nothing at all. But they did perhaps find a blueprint for some level of success in the last game. But that could have also been fool's gold. I mean, how often are you going to have your two import shooting and scoring that well in one game? So I think that could be a slight bit of an aberration.
I look at their roster. I look at 11-11, and I say that's exactly where they're going to sit. They're going to finish with a 14-14 record. I looked at their run home a couple of days ago, but haven't committed it to memory. But I think that's par for the course in this team. I mean, Valentine had the game of his life against New Zealand, and they
sure
win.
Did.
As you say, I don't think that's replicatable. Here's the thing I want to say about the Sydney Kings. Right, so they're having this really interesting season, right, where an NBA player has been benched. They're sort of losing as many games as they're winning. There's some dysfunction, and it's not the usual dysfunction of, you know, import with a bad attitude or a local with a bad attitude or player mutiny. It's something different. And here's what irks me. Sydney Kings have two podcasts. They're both of their owners host podcasts. And a slight departure here, but think about this. Bogut's worth a couple of hundred million. Paul Smith, similarly. And what do they do with their riches? They do other stuff, but also they devote some of their time to making a fucking podcast. Like, it just shows you how fun this platform can be for people listening. I mean, I hate to say it, Kenyon, but if I had their money, you would not be in my life, pal. We would not be talking. Not in this way, not in a pod.
No.
We'd be on Epstein's Island, the one next to
Epstein's Island. Whoa. Let's steady on there.
We'd be on the one next to it. Actually, I'd probably come in, buy Epstein's Island, give it a good thorough cleaning, and we'd use it for good. Like, we'd scuba dive and jet ski and stuff. We'd use the island for good, if I can just clarify that.
Got it.
But anyway, they have these podcasts and they just churn out content about where Jalen Adams likes to eat in Sydney. I don't know what they do. This is crap. You got this great opportunity to make something of merit, and what can I say? They don't. And Bogut's is just motherhood statements about the NBA. I've listened to it in a year and a half, but I don't think anything's changed. And they could, Kenyon, do something very, very good, and they don't. So that's more of a comment than a question for you, but any reply?
No.
Okay.
Oh, it's that kind of night.
Let's do this. Man. So they were 11-11 this season, 24-12 last season.
Yep.
What's the problem?
Well, the problem they've got is that they have a coach who's coaching them like they're up until perhaps the last game. So coaching them like they're an under-9s team where everybody gets to have a turn. And, you know, it's just subbing by the clock. Bring everybody out, bring everybody in. And having no real sense of the occasion. A guy might score some points. Nah, sorry, it's 3 minutes on the clock. You've got to come out. And then also carrying on the under-9s tradition, although apparently they don't do this at juniors anymore. They used to. It used to just, well, maybe it's more social league. It's just like, let's just play a 2-3 zone defense. Because
well, they
really
do this switching stuff too.
Effort. Yeah, yeah, they just switch everything, but fall into that 2-3 zone, which the zone is designed to encourage outside shooting, right? You pack it in and you let the teams beat you from the outside. Most teams in the NBL have enough competent shooters that they will beat you from the outside.
They will not just beat you, they will, you know, crush you from the outside.
Yes. And New Zealand just unfortunately had a bad shooting game in this last one, whereas the Kings were just red hot.
Pink hot. I got to hand it to them. Like, their coach's career was on the line. If they lose that game, he gets sacked, I think.
Yep.
That would have dropped them below 500, and I think they've seen enough to know... Yeah, it's not going to happen. They would have dropped two games below 500, pardon me.
Yep.
So he's still on thin ice, but I think that would have actually clinched it. We'd have a very different direction right now because he'd be gone.
Yeah. But I think you said it best a few weeks ago when you said something along the lines. I can't remember if it was on the podcast or in a chat, but it was basically the Sydney Kings bench basketball where entertainment goes to die or something. You know, it was like... You've got
those Sean Bruce.
Quat Noi, who's an entire black hole. Angus Glover, who's out to try and desperately prove that he deserves starter minutes every time he gets on the court.
Mm.
Yeah, it's not particularly enjoyable to watch.
Here's my thing, right? There's a winning lineup and rotation on this team. Adams, Hoag, Valentine, Hunter, Bolden, Galloway, Glover, and to a lesser extent, Noy, depending on where he is game to game. If he's hot, you play him. If not, not so much. But their coach doesn't run that rotation.
No.
He's got a bit of everything in there. Sean Bruce plays a lot of minutes, all these guys. The other question I have is, who's their best local? And other than the Wildcats, the Wildcats were good when they had a really good local in Nick Kay. Now they had struggles when they didn't have a good local. Who's the best local on the Kings? Is it Galloway? Is it Bolden? Is it
Jordy Hunter?
Jordan Hunter? Like, that doesn't stack up against your Goldings, your Mitch Creeks. I know South East Melbourne are poor, but where's their local linchpin? Last year they had Xavier Cooks. Their local was an MVP, and they just don't have it. Adams is an interesting case where this is the biggest condemnation of a coach, I think, and it's why people were slagging off John Reilly at the start of the year. The star player's not playing well. This is Jalen Adams. He should be neck and neck with Cotton for the MVP. It should be him, Cotton, Adams, and Lamb.
Yeah.
And right now, it is not even a conversation. People out there, leverage everything you've got and go and put MVP on Bryce Cotton. There's just no way. he could get hurt. I think he's got it wrapped up. No one's even close, unless Lamb goes on an absolute tear. But I think this thing's over. But Adams is an interesting one where similar usage rate to when he was with the Kings last time. But PER's way down, true shooting percentage way down. And that's the condemnation of a coach when your best player's not playing his best. That's a very, very poor strategy. And, where are you at with Valentine? Had a good game against the Breakers. We've ragged him on the podcast on occasion, but I saw his game. He's fun to watch. He does some fun stuff. What do you think?
Yeah, he is exactly that. He's entertaining to watch. He's when he's shooting well, it's cool. And
push
he
shots.
Them,
never goes wild. To the hoop. Never lays it up. It's always a push shot.
Yeah. And he's got some wild passing ability as well.
Oh, yeah.
Very unorthodox. So in that sense, he's good to watch. But I think also he doesn't seem always completely committed at the defensive end.
No, not even close.
And if his shot's not working, he can kind of go a little missing. I just don't see him finding okay, I can't shoot today, so I'm going to set some screens and I'm going to go hit the glass.
Yeah, put it on the deck, go around my guy, make something for someone else. No. Yeah. There's long threes, push shots, and some funky passes in transition. That's in the half court. That's about it. I still don't know where to sit with Valentine.
When you've got Valentine and then Jalen Galloway's a bit the same way.
Yeah.
And then Jonah
Bolt. A bit more aggressive, obviously. A bit more
Jonah Bolt streaky as well. Had some really good games, but then has gone missing a bit, particularly.
And then
more recently.
Tui as well. Like, they're all identical players. And then DJ Hoag, kind of, there's a bit of the crossover in the Venn diagram with the skill set with these guys. So it's funny, Bogut at the start of the year got clipped up into an article, was not convinced of the construction of Perth's roster. I look at how much this Sydney Kings roster overlaps one another, the way they've recruited over player after player after player. I worry that this has not been the best jigsaw puzzle piece from Pongrass, who's typically been a masterstroke at this sort of stuff. So,
yeah, they're all a bit samey, aren't they? And maybe that helps opposition teams as well. They're like, you figure out how to attack the one flavour of Sydney Kings, and they've got no ability to really change it up or, to go big or to bring out a small, bring on a small lineup and things like that.
So they have no idea. What's the identity of this team other than just shoot heaps of threes and play no D?
Shoot.
Right? There's no gumption.
It's like the 7 seconds or less Suns. They just run it up.
Oh, they're shooting threes at a ridiculous level. I want to ask, here's the thing that, I want to ask you this question. Mahmoud Abdul Fattah, do you think he sees out the season? Yes or no?
I think at this point, yes, he does. I think...
Yeah, how many games are left? Well, if they're 11 and 11... There's six games left.
Six games, so he's definitely
staying. Yeah, he's made it.
But is he coming back next year?
Oh, no. God, no. Not a prayer. And here's how you know... I don't know whether to say he's lost the locker room or... But this was when it hit crisis point. January 4th. Do you know why I say that's the sort of alarm bell day for... the Kings and their coach.
Why is that?
It's when he put Sean Bruce in the starting lineup. You can't do that. You can think about it. You can lay up at night, stare up at the ceiling and think, oh, no, I'm going to, it's the type of thing that you go, Like, you tell everyone down the pub, like, no, I'm going to do it. No, I'm going to... I'll climb the roof. Okay, I'll jump off. I don't give a fuck. I'll do it. Like, and but you just can't actually do that sort of thing unless you, you're on a one-way road to losses and whatever. So in the losses... Sean Bruce played. In the losses to Adelaide and Brisbane, 39 minutes combined over those two games for Bruce. 2 points, 1 of 7 over two games, 40 minutes. Wow. It reeked of a coach craving... like some discipline and accountability. Because in fairness to Sean Bruce, you put him in a game, he will do as he's told, he will do the right thing. I do commend him for that. But it was a sign of, like, it was a sign of, I need this team to take me seriously. And I thought it was a real red button play. They've now reverted back and he's off the bench again. Alex Tui, I want to move on to this.
Yep.
Is the experiment over yet? Just to give you the skinny on him, hasn't scored in double figures or hit a three in the last 6 games. He's 0 of 9 from... he's missed his last 10 three-point attempts over 6 games. I just don't see where he contributes to their winning basketball, and he's taken up 20 minutes a game, and it's time that could be to Bolden, Valentine, Galloway. I just don't see his place on this team. What do you think of him?
Yeah, he started the season on fire, didn't he? But... I think the season has worn him down, and I think playing against
the defensive accountability he can't stay on that end. It's crazy, sorry.
And often he's matched up on one of the better players on the opposition so he is just out of his depth at this point. And I think, you know, as much as there was a lot of talk earlier about and we'll talk about Perth in a while, but leaving Ben Henschel on the bench as Alex Tui was doing all these great things. Yeah. Perhaps there's some level of wisdom in that you can't ask too much of these young kids. It puts a lot of, I would almost say, unfair pressure on them. They're still learning how to just be a professional athlete, you know, how to live away from home, how to iron their shirts. You know, they're learning how to cook a meal. They've got all these basics of life they're trying to sort out and be a starter on an NBL team. It is a lot to ask over a 28-game season.
Yeah.
And I think Alex started the season with a blaze of enthusiasm, and now it's turned into a grind, and he is probably suffering as a result.
I just think I wrote an article for a rather large publication, and the things I wrote in that article, despite speaking to a scout over in the US about Alex Tui, were redacted and taken out, much to my objection, but nonetheless. And at the Nike Hoop Summit, where they look at draft eligible players, when he was about to go to Gonzaga but then came to the NBL, got beaten really badly athletically in that game, and then decided, actually, I need to work on my athleticism, and thought he'd be better off doing that in the NBL. And that question mark hanging over him is still there. He's still on draft boards in the top 60. It's going to be one of the worst NBA drafts of the last 20, 30 years, so you'd hope so. But, yeah, that a second-round pick in a bad draft, that's not going to get you NBA money. That's not going to cement you there. So I have a concern there. Looking more broadly at the Kings have attempted 739 threes, an average of 33.6. That's the most in the NBL. Tasmania are second. They've attempted 666. However, the Kings are fifth in three-point percentage. We were talking about it before. Like, this team casts them up like a... like a fisherman in the Gulf Stream, and it's unattractive. And I think Andrew Price put out a thing that said that their 3-point tally is the highest ever in the history. 3-point attempts is the highest ever in NBL history, and by a huge margin. So crazy. I want to talk about this. I know I'm doing a lot of talking. Sorry, Kenya. I just want to get this out there for the people to hear. But
yeah,
top minute getters for the Sydney Kings in this order: Jalen Adams. So no King has played over 30 minutes. Averages over 30 minutes, pardon me. Not even close. Adams, 29. Hogue, 28. Valentine, 25. Have a guess who's the fourth biggest minutes getter on the Kings per game.
Kings.
Don't feel bad. It's hard. People at home, this is a difficult one to know because it's such a hodgepodge. It's Galloway, 24.
Okay.
Guess who's next? So fifth. So who are their top? Their fifth, top
have
five.
Have we said Jordan Hunter yet? Sorry?
No.
No, I'll say Jordan Hunter.
Nope. Alex Tui.
Okay.
Meanwhile, Bolden is 9th at 18th and Glover 10th at 15th. So Glover's down about 2-3 minutes a game on what was a really good season last year. He's in doghouse of doghouses.
He should be getting the Tui minutes, shouldn't he?
I concur. And Bolden, depending again, like, well, you only need 8 guys in this league. Last year, Glover was seventh in minutes on the Kings. Basically, the first, second guy off the bench. Now he's getting, you know, DMPs. Just don't get it. I want to. Can I put my tinfoil hat on and ask you a question?
Yeah, sure.
Is there a Moldovan conspiracy afoot? We love Daniel Moldovan's podcast. A huge agent, very successful. Had a few bumps in the road of late, but Lighthouse is back, baby. It's back on Instagram.
Yeah,
the agency is back. The light is back up. Fire's lit. Rain jacket on. The yellow bucket hat. Do you know how many of his clients are on this team? Obviously, he has his operations here in Sydney.
Oh, gosh.
Bolden, Bruce, Hoag, Noy, Tui, and I think he's got others. They're the only ones I could actually know.
Rename the entire team.
Just put his face on the jersey. The Sydney Lighthouse. That's not bad.
It's not bad. Could be a second Sydney team right there.
The West Sydney Lightkeepers. Is that what they're called?
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah.
But I think this is all a play to stock up their roster with his clients, and then when Cooks becomes available next year, there's that relationship. Like, hey, we hung around, we looked after you. This was a, you know, come on, Cooks on a multi-year deal. Let's do this. I don't know. I get a vibe that this season they're not particularly dedicated. They've seen the writing on the wall, and they're not. They're like, okay, we'll ride it out, but next year we want Cooks back. What do you think? Hmm. Could there be a conspiracy of foul?
I think it's a stretch.
I don't know.
It seems like it's just too... It can't be. He's got to represent each person in their own best interests.
What could be a better interest than coming to Sydney? He is a good agent. What would be better than coming to Sydney? You're right near the agent, looks after you. I mean, Tui. To make sure that Tui gets 25 minutes a game with that level of production. Now, that's... I'd sign with him. Let's move on. John Riley. Do people really owe John Riley an apology, Andrew Kenny?
Nah.
Why not?
Nah. Like, he had them off to a poor start. He's got them back to a reasonable, like, a good level, playing well. But, again, I don't think it's through any particular coaching brilliance. It was what everybody was saying from day one, which is this team lives and breathes on the success of Bryce Cotton. Get him the ball, get him shots, and you'll be okay. And that's what they did. They made that adjustment. They reset everybody's expectations and said, hey, if this is Bryce's team, he needs 20 shots a game, make it happen. That to me doesn't reek of star coaching. That seems like the bloody obvious.
And here's why an apology. Is an apology necessary? I mean, do you think we owe him an apology? We were critical. But everything we kind of said, oh, we think the Wildcats should do this, they've actually done. We were like, give the ball to Cotton, get the F out of the way. And play Harris more, and guys, you set a good screen, wag stuff.
Yep.
And they did. And now they're winning.
Yep.
I hate to say we foretold this would happen, but the other thing I will give really credit for, and I don't know if it warrants an apology, but I want to highlight it, to bench Corey Webster, and not, you know, 12 minutes a game or 40 minutes. I mean, yeah. Hard DMP, the Blanchfield treatment.
Yeah.
But at the same time, you know, you've got to measure this on the scale. To do that to Corey Webster and say, no, we're going to give your 8 to 10 shots to Cotton. That's the way it's going to be. But to then keep the brother of Ty Webster on side. Ty Webster's been fantastic this year.
He has been.
When he was hurt, the Wildcats were poor. He's better. And he's playing really selfless and getting at the hoop. Looks real strong across the shoulders. So I'm going to say... not an apology, but certainly a pat on the head for John Riley. To manage that relationship would be really difficult. And I don't know if you saw Corey Webster got into the game against Southeast Melbourne. The one they had won, got 2 minutes, threw it up against the rim every time he caught it. That was theatre. I love that. That was hilarious.
Yeah. He wasn't looking after the rookies, was he? He was out to get his.
That was the funniest thing I've seen this NBL season, I think. I was like, I wish I could have bet, like, is he going to shoot it every time? I would have bet thousands of dollars. And my favorite was when the clock was at 8 seconds, and dribbled it at quarter court and took a shot. That to me is that's funny stuff. But and then the other one is, you know, Wagstaff in the starting lineup. Bit of a risk to do that with a guy of his age, but
yeah.
So you're saying no apology to your religion, but a wee pat on the head for
I think, I mean, he's done well. He's reset the. he's reset this team really well, but he's done it in the same way he did it last year. It's like, I don't know, I still feel like he's somewhat flogging his guys. I'm in two minds.
Oh, totally. Cotton's playing a certain amount of minutes.
But also, it's only a 40-minute game. They're super fit. Why not? You know, so it's a little bit of, I'm in two minds about it. But then I worry, like, you know, and it was Pete Hawley on the commentary. He can drive me crazy sometimes.
Right.
But he brought a really good point up about the Doolittle incident and the fact that they just left him on with his concussed state. And that's where I'm like, really, are you really paying attention? You know, like, get this guy off the court. Yes, he looked shaky as.
Oh, I mean, we had the luxury of the TV cameras, but was anyone in the stadium? Were you there at that game by any chance?
No, I didn't go to that game. So
maybe it was different in court, but it was really obvious on TV. And don't they have a guy sitting there watching the telecast? You would think.
Yeah.
You'd have one guy watching the screen.
You've got the replay guy and all that. But also the medical staff, like, what else are you there for?
Yeah, what else are you there for? Yeah, good point.
So there's that kind of stuff where I just wonder, oh, does he really have the overall welfare of people at heart? Or is he just like, just go out and win, I don't care?
I mean, Cotton's played every minute of three or four games this year. And one was that overtime game in Melbourne. I think he played all 45 minutes or however many overtimes they had, I can't remember. Played every second. You can't. Like, yeah, okay, now you're winning. You're playing the best player of the NBA of the last 30 years, 40 minutes a game. Like, fuck, anyone can do that. It's like, well, what happens when he's off the court? The team's a total mess. But the other thing is, I mean, apology as far as, like, let Mitch Norton walk to Brisbane, and they've been a good team, and he's been fantastic. We thought he was done. He looked done last year.
Yeah, yeah. He's been great. His last game was fantastic.
I think the apology stuff is overwrought.
Yeah, okay. Where do you think these two teams, so we've got Sydney and we've got Perth.
Yeah.
So for the rest of this season, who would you have back to win the whole thing?
Out of Sydney and Perth for sure. I think if the NBL will be crossing its fingers and toes, hoping that there's a Perth Sydney grand final. I think Perth Melbourne grand final.
Yeah.
Anything other than that is just not going to be good. Tasmania maybe, but you want Perth Melbourne. That'd be great. Crisscrossing the country, two teams hate each other, two best teams by far. Tasmania is a team that's dropped off. I haven't enjoyed them. And the Kings aren't for real. I don't care they're too up down. I'm just, no, I'm out. Hogue's been kind of hurt, and that's just killed their rhythm.
Yeah,
and their coaching staff their defense is just so bad. I don't see how they recalibrate. So, if that's an answer, that's mine. What do you think?
It's a fair answer. I think you're right. And do you see either of these two teams really challenging Melbourne? What do you think? Melbourne are just
Perth. I do. Perth, I really do. Not because I think if you put them in a vacuum, Melbourne's better. They're just far more disciplined. Yep. However, when you factor in the crisscrossing of the country that I think Perth handle a bit better.
Yep.
When you factor in the Bryce Cotton brilliance, like he just needs three games where he scores in the high 30s at a high clip, and you can't really beat that. So that X factor, that makes it, that'd be a fun series. That'd be really, really good. The last Perth Melbourne was awesome.
Yeah.
Really, really good. So that's, I think the NBL's hoping that, and I think the Christmas Day game, yeah, a lot of people make fun of the NBL being like M for Mary, NBL rather than M. Yep. And the Christmas Day games was between, what, Sydney and Illawarra, and it just rated poorly. And as a result, you haven't, and this is from someone sent me a message on Twitter, Hayden, you haven't seen the usual, like, Christmas Day, you know, NBL, ho, 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 takes over Christmas Day. The stats just weren't there to put up those sort of social posts.
Yep.
And that's just purely because last year Melbourne played an away game in Sydney on Christmas. And it rated. And this year it was, you know, no one gives a stuff, Illawarra Hawks. And as a result, it rated poorly. So,
yep.
You want, you know, the NBL is best when Perth and Melbourne and Sydney, to a lesser extent, are all good. And right now, two of those teams are holding up their end of the bargain.
Yep.
Man, was there any news around the NBL other than what we've spoken about?
Did I see something just very, I've been a bit out of it today, busy with normal work stuff.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Here it is. I'm just checking the NBL site. It is true. Kyle Adnam, back with the Hawks.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think that does that move the needle?
I mean, they're winning right now, and he's a score-first point guard who couldn't step on the floor in the playoffs for the Southeast Melbourne Phoenix. I mean, he's a body. He's played in this league. You can trust him, but doesn't move any needle for me. You?
I don't understand it. Like, just when you've got a vibe going with a team.
I don't think he's going to play, Kenyon. I really think this was a... Oh, yeah. Like, you know how to be on an NBL bench and behave well. We'll take you. Saddle up, partner.
Yeah, it's an interesting one. I guess they had a roster spot. Like you say, it's a body. He might give a few good minutes, but I'm liking watching the Illawarra Hawks all of a sudden, though. I've got to say, that is a team that I hated watching. And Adelaide as well. I'm kind of enjoying watching
Adelaide. Adelaide were good the other day. They were fun to watch while they beat Sydney at home.
Yeah, big shout out to Scott Ninnis for turning that team around, because they're entirely different.
Isn't it interesting?
What was CJ Bruton doing not to be able to get any of this performance out of them?
He wasn't listening to his owner. His owner's like, bench McCarron, bench this guy, bench that guy, and they start winning. Grant Kelly should set rotations at the Sydney Kings, probably start winning more games. But they benched a whole lot of guys who were just underperforming, and they look really kind of fun and tough. I really enjoyed... I don't think they're a winning unit, but they're kind of close to it. Good on them.
It seems like they don't hate each other. They seem that they're quite enjoying each other's company, which I wouldn't have said earlier in the season. Seems like the vibe of the team seems to be much improved.
Oh, the vibe's totally changed, and that's a real... That's CJ Bruton era. If they had real people writing about this league, that'd be fun to look into the muckraking going on there, because you had a sticky beak owner, you had... Anyway, we'll never know. As long as the teams give 110%, that's all that really matters. Anything else, Kenyon?
I think that's about it.
Well, my internet's been so bad, it's put me in a horrible mood.
Yeah, and I'm hungry.
You're hungry.
Putting me in a horrible mood.
That's just why this thing's so dour, everyone. But listen, the NBL, it's a good product. We do enjoy it. I know it doesn't sound like it, but we do. We enjoy it very much. We enjoy it. I really enjoyed that Breakers game, the Kings Breakers game. Loved the first half. Watched it, thought, okay, seen enough, I'm off.
The actual quality of games this round were really fun. Overtime games, tight games. Oh, it was really good. Just important that people start learning the rules. Don't call timeouts when you can't. just basic things like that.
Can I ask, have you got any hope in Southeast Melbourne? They're playing this week and they don't have Williams, and I think Brown is a day-to-day. Do you think I'll do this quickly, worse than Brisbane?
Yeah.
Worse than Illawarra?
Yes.
Worse than Cairns?
Depends on the day.
Cairns went to the NBA games in the early season, and they've got nothing out of Taron Armstrong. I thought he was going to be a stud. He just hasn't. I don't know if there's something going on there. I'd love to know what. Is he just not good? Is he hurt? Is it too much? Is Patrick Miller recruited over the top of him?
Yeah.
That's an interesting one, because I thought he was going to be really, really good. And he hasn't been. And I can't describe why. Like, he just has not been good. He's got minutes. He's played in games. It just hasn't happened.
No,
weird.
Disappointment.
Yeah. That's
another
it.
Another young player. Struggling to come to terms.
The NBA doors kind of close, you would think.
For now.
For a draft, NBA draft doors.
Yeah.
All right, Kenyon, I'm going to let you go. I can give you the final word. You say what you want. This has been a horrible recording. Can I just say for the people at home, I spent $80 on a new modem, and Kenyon, would you say it's improved things at all?
No, it's no better, mate. I think you've got to go back to...
I got hoodwinked.
To another solution.
I got shanghaied by the people at Telstra.
Screw them.
Pricks.
Yeah. Aussie Broadband. That's who I'd recommend. What's my last word of advice?
Before you give your last word, I'll just quickly look at the games this week and tell me which ones you'll be bothering tuning into. Tomorrow night, South East Melbourne play the Adelaide 36ers. Are you going to bother?
Nah.
Hawks Taipans. on Thursday.
Nah.
I might, but no. Fourth quarter, if it's tight. I'll check the result closely, but I probably wouldn't watch that one. This Google. Oh, my word. This is a horrible way to do things.
Jumpers, Melbourne.
Oh, Jack Jumpers. That'll be good. Friday night.
Yeah, that's a good one. Then followed by Perth and Brisbane. Oh.
And Wildcats will probably be without Doolittle. They might be without Saar because of the concussion and so on and so forth. That could be a real doozy for the Wildcats. Breakers, Southeast Melbourne.
Nah.
Don't care. Hawks, 36ers again? No, sorry.
Hawks got the Cairns.
No, I'm not going to bother with that one. Kings, Wildcats on the Sunday.
Wow, which is the two teams we're talking about here.
See, we didn't just do this podcast willy-nilly with no notes or by the seat of our pants. Oh, no. I'll be watching that. You going to watch?
Yeah, I'll watch that one.
Taipans, Bullets, the Sunshine, Stoush. So there it is, people. Watch the Kings and Wildcats. Yeah. Yeah. Watch the Wildcats and the Bullets, maybe. Definitely watch the Jack Jumpers and United, and that's your NBL week for the upper casual fan that listens to this pod.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, Kenyon, I promise you the final word. Apologies.
Final word, yes. Yeah. So at some stadiums around Australia, they just stop playing music for just a few play cycles, and it's lovely. And you can sort of hear the play, you hear the shoes squeaking, you let the crowd build some atmosphere. Let's do have more of that across the league. And commentators, you don't have to fill every second of airway with talking. You can just stop saying things for a minute and let the game breathe.
What they could do is like rub two sneakers together. So keep playing the music in the stadium, but just get two sneakers and rub it and get that squeaky sound in the commentary booth.
Less is more sometimes. I think that's what I'm really... That's my theme. Less is more, broadcast and in venue.
And Kenyon, in that spirit, less is more. We're cutting it here.